Praise the Lord. God is good to us all of the time, and He has something special in mind for us in each and every one of our circumstances. Amen? So let's go to the Word of the Lord, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the dirt today. I don't know if something like this has ever happened to you. Not necessarily me, having been in a white suit falling into the mud. But there are times in our world where you get dirty. The fact is that dirt is all over the place. And especially during the rainy season, my daughter would often say when we were leaving the house, especially on a Sunday morning, because on Saturday, the car had gotten washed. And so when we're leaving on a Sunday morning, she would look at all of those mud puddles from the rains the night before, and she would say, "Yes, mud puddles. Yes, mud puddles." And I would say, "No, we don't want, we want to get to church with a clean car." And so there's something fascinating about a young person thinking that mud is fun. I'll give you another indication. Now, I would typically on a weekday, now this is beforehand because the doctor now doesn't let me have coffee, but when I would have coffee, I would have it in my coffee cup. And by the way, this is tea. Even if my wife wasn't here to supervise, I still was drinking tea this morning. But nonetheless, I would have my cup of coffee, and I'm driving down out the road to take my daughter to school. And, you know, I don't think that my road is any different than yours. They're all bumpy. All right? And so going down the road, I would then whisper to the coffee, "Stay in the cup. Stay in the cup." And my daughter would be rooting just the opposite. "Jump out. Jump out." Well, something about making daddy all dirty that sounded fun. Now, that is something that's easily remedied. If the coffee jumped out of the cup, I would turn around, I would go home, I would change my clothes, and that would be the end of it. But what we have to face is that there are things in our lives that aren't so easy to change. And we're going to not be talking so much about the external, the stuff that we can wash. You know, they have a saying, you cleaned up nice. In other words, you were a mess just a few moments ago, and just a handful of minutes later, you can change that appearance. Well, that may be true on the outside, but the reality is that the inside is a much deeper and problematic issue. And so we're going to be talking about that today. So go with me to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7, verse 14 and following. It says, "Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this.'" So in other words, it's important for Jesus to say, "You understand what he's saying." He is not, and I want to just give you a heads up, he's not saying, "Get dirty on the outside." He's not saying, "Have fun, roll around in the mud." He's not saying, and every one of us have a daily habit, if you will. We get up in the mornings, and before we go outside, we prepare for the day. Now, some of us have habits that are much more prolonged. I don't know how many hours of my life, if not days, months, and years, just been in waiting mode, because one member of my marriage team takes a great deal more time getting ready in the mornings or whenever we're going to leave than I do. And I'm not naming names, but that person has this long drawn out tradition and procedure to be able to get ready to go. Now, some of you may look at me and say, "I wish you took a little bit more time." But the reality is that we all have something that we go through. We go and we stand in front of a mirror typically. We go and we make sure that certain things are dealt with. Some are more picky than others, and I'm not labeling that. But we all have a tradition, a way we prepare for the future, for that day. Now, what Jesus is going to tell us is not that he wants us to cast aside those. Jesus is not coming to you and say, "By the way, I think it's important you stop brushing your teeth." He's not going to say that. But he is going to focus our attention on something that's even more valuable. And he says, so understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And so here we have our text. Notice what Jesus is and is not saying. We notice immediately a person who has not bathed. Now, if you're sitting beside someone that forgot to take a shower, have mercy. But we notice the outside immediately. We notice if the person forgot to comb their hair. There has been an occasion or two in which I am driving down the road, about ready to drop my... Why are you laughing, Kaylee? Drop my daughter off at school, and she will look over at me and say, "Dad, did you comb your hair this morning?" You know, so people notice and can see immediately the outside of a person. They can go into your house, and you know what? Walking into your house, they will immediately be able to see if there's a stack of dirty dishes a mile high. They'll be able to see the things on the outside, but what we're talking about here isn't the outside. We're talking about the inside. Most people, like you and I, are a little obsessed with the outside. We judge things. We judge people. And I don't think that Jesus is even saying that we shouldn't judge a certain amount of our food. He says that, you know, what comes into your mouth goes into your stomach and out, and you're not going to worry about that because that's not what he's focusing on. But you know what? Every one of us still determine what we're going to put into our mouth or not. And that's probably a good thing. You know, they say that we eat with our eyes first. Why do we do that? Because if mold was growing all over it, your natural instinct is, don't put this into your mouth, right? We eat with our mouth, but we eat first with our eyes. We smell it, and if something smells like, you know, this has gone just a little bit rancid, what do? You throw it out. You don't say, but let me try it just to make sure, right? So these things can affect us, but the effect is only for a matter of hours, days, at a time when we suffer from that food poisoning, that problem, and then when we get over it, what do? We go back to eating again. But what Jesus is talking about are the things that come into and take root in our hearts. And so we're going to be talking about Jesus and his commanding us to watch what goes on in our hearts. See, if I get into my car after it's been washed, I don't seem to do it as much when it's not been washed, but I see this mud puddle ahead. I have a choice. Continue on or go around it, right? Well, the natural reaction is for us to go around it if we want to keep our car clean. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is that we need to have eyes that see in the spiritual to go around the spiritual mud puddles that would contaminate us and become a part of who we are. Because if we have all of this circumstance around us, all of this sin, all of this world, all of this ugliness that's around us spiritually, and we don't move in accordance, if we don't make corrections in accordance, what we're going to do is at full speed hit the mud puddle. It's going to fly in all directions. It's going to get us and other people dirty in the process. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is that he wants to make sure that we avoid the mud puddles. Jesus wants to make sure that we stay clean on the inside. Now, as many of you know, most of you, I believe, 10 weeks ago, I had a heart attack. And when I had that heart attack, and shortly after, in discussions with the doctor made it clear, at least to my wife, and she has made it abundantly clear to me, that it was the sum total of accumulation of what I had been eating. Now, for years, my wife had been telling me, "You should eat better. You should eat like I'm eating. Look at me. This is the way that we should eat." And I would look at her, and I would see, I'm jogging 5 kilometers a day. I can run laps around her. I'm in better condition. She's the one that's weak. I'm the one that's strong. And so looking at it, notice what I was doing. On the outside, I was fine. But what was happening on the inside, and so what happens? Afterwards, my wife comes to me, and she tells me, we are on a diet. Here's a diet. And, you know, I could tell you all of the things that I can't eat, but that would take way too long. Basically, if it has flavor, it can't go in your mouth. All right? No, I'm teasing. I can't eat meat and chicken. I can't eat dairy. I can't have coffee. I already mentioned. The list is long and challenging. And here's the list. And you know what? I have not veered from that list in 10 weeks. Now, why do I do that? Because I don't want to be beaten by my wife? No. Because I have to have come to some sort of a conclusion that although I cannot see what the doctor had talked about, an accumulation in my arteries, I look at it, I look okay. Although I cannot see these things, I have to take by faith and I have to say, you know what? I am going to eat this special diet, and it's going to do something to the cholesterol, to whatever we're talking about inside the arteries. It's going to be so much better. And you know what? 10 weeks later, I'll tell you, I still can't see it. I can go down to the chopo, the place that takes your blood and does the tests and so forth, and they can tell me what my cholesterol level is. And that gives you some sort of satisfaction. You say, look, it's working, this kind of stuff. But at the same time, I still can't see it. As far as I am concerned, I could go in and say, you know what, my wife paid them off to give me a low cholesterol rating so that I continue on with it. You understand what I'm saying? I can't see the actual results taking place. And this is dangerous. Is dangerous on a health-wise, but is even more dangerous on a spiritual level. Jesus is not referring here to our cholesterol rating when he says, watch out of what goes inside, what's in our heart, because he's not talking about the things that go into our stomach and even into our bloodstream through that natural process of eating. What Jesus is talking about is the things that go into our heart, and we have to be careful. And you say, but I live in this world that is dirty. How can I avoid the problems? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But Jesus saw and heard many of the things that you and I hear and see today. You cannot tell me that it's just because of the external. I heard it, and so now I'm involved in sin. I saw it, so now I'm involved in sin. I was experiencing this in my environment, so now I'm involved in sin. Jesus was in the same condition. He heard and saw and experienced many of the same things that we hear and experience. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is perfect. He remained perfect. Sin never took hold in him. In other words, it's not what you see with your eyes. It's not what you hear with your ears that is sin. But rather, if we allow that sin to come in and take root in our hearts. So we have to defend against those things happening. We have to make sure that the environment that we're living in does not end up coming into our heart and we allow it to take root. We have to be very vigilant in defending our heart so that sin does not take place in our lives. And you say, well, that's impossible. We're humans. Jesus, being God, was able to do this. I'm going to explain to you the details here, and you're going to discover very quickly that it's not impossible. It's exactly possible. We just need to be vigilant about it. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now I ask you a question. Who is responsible for guarding the heart? We are. We cannot pray, God, put a hedge of protection around my heart, make sure that nothing comes in, and therefore I can walk in purity. You know what? That's not what it's saying here. It is our responsibility to guard our heart. The important thing is that we avoid sin entering into our heart, that we have that disconnect, that we make sure that we block the things that have already gone into our eyes, our ears, our minds, and we say, these will not take root in my heart. I do not want this. Paul tells his spiritual son, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2, in verse 22. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord. And notice what he says, out of a pure heart. Because Paul is expecting his spiritual son to walk with a pure heart, with a clean heart before him. And I also wanted to note for you that Paul does not just tell Timothy that he should pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. We have people all around the world who try it with just that way. They come to a church on Sunday, perhaps even a Bible study during the week, and they come in and say, I am pursuing God. I want more of God. I'm doing these things so that God will be in my life. Granted. But the problem that many have, because they go on this vicious cycle, repentance week after week, because all they're doing is that part without the fleeing the evil, without the protection, without trying to avoid the spiritual mud puddles that are around us. You know, they say that possession is 9/10 of the law. Once something takes root in our heart, it possesses. You say, but they don't have the bill of sale. I didn't give it to them. I didn't give it to the sin. But possession is 9/10 of the law. I'll tell you that in Mexico, that also applies. Property laws in Mexico are really crazy at times. And I've mentioned this before, and actually thank you, because this church actually helps on a monthly basis offset costs of attorneys and trying to defend. And because in Mexico, we have, now this church is not in danger, but we have many church buildings of the Assemblies of God here in our district that ends up where the title work was never completed. They didn't go to the notary and get all of that done. Why? Because they didn't have the money to do it at the time. So that's why we have to help, and we're coming in alongside of them. Because what happens later on, somebody comes in with a false escritura, a false deed. And a matter of fact, at this time, there are 10 to 15 different church buildings that somebody is trying to claim they own and take the building. Now, what we did when in this process, and you know that I've been in leadership for quite some time in our district, and so what we have done is we've told the pastor and the church, it's imperative that you don't leave the church. It's imperative that you practically take up residence there. That if you aren't there, somebody else is there. That somebody is there all of the time, because if they find a moment when you're not there, they have the title, false title as it is, they call the police, they break the locks, and now they have a title and possession. But while we have possession, the fight continues on, and that's why we're in this process, and the church is helping with that process for a number of different church buildings. Thank you. But 9/10 of the law, we say, is possession. Now, when we talk about sin entering our lives, this is the reason why it's best that we avoid the spiritual mud puddles. Because once that splash ensues, it's going to go everywhere. And it's going to get on you, it's going to get on the people around you, and it's going to be everywhere. The things that come out of our heart will display what we have made in our hearts, and whether Jesus is on the list. Now, Jesus, in that first text that we gave, in Mark chapter 7, he gives this list of things, evils, that are there. And I can go back and show that to you for just a moment. All right, it says, for it is from within out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. So he gives this list. So if we go upon this list, we're going to ask a few questions here in just a moment. But before we get to those questions, let's read what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. In other words, people may not be able to see into your heart, but they're going to recognize your fruit. Now, I just read the list of evils that Jesus gave in Mark 7 text, and on that list is a number of things. But I'm going to ask you a question. Look to the person to your left or to your right that I assume you know fairly well. If you don't have somebody sitting beside you, think about a family member. And if somebody came to you and they said, did you know that that person sitting beside you is actually an axe murderer? What would you do? I see the response. Many of you are laughing. You're like, no, of course not. I know my wife. I know that she couldn't be an axe murderer. I mean, she takes the meat out of my food, but she's not an axe murderer, right? You know, there's certain things that we know the person, and if there was an accusation that comes along and says, that person's a murderer, you're going to say, there's just no way. I've known that person for the last 40 years. I know that that cannot be the case, and you know, we can just dismiss it right offhand. Why? Because we can see fruit. We can't see their heart. Now, could we be wrong? Well, it's possible. There are people who hide things very well. But my experience is people always kind of had this sneaky suspicion. I wondered about that. Why? Because people perceive this. And so Jesus says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So the people that are sitting around you, your close family and friends, you can come to them and you can say, do you think I could possibly be a murderer? And if they laugh immediately, you know what that means? They've never seen that a part of your heart. They never even considered that to be possible about you. And so we are known by our fruit. But again, going back to the list that Jesus gave, if you go to the person that's sitting beside you, and now you don't ask them, do you think I could be a murderer? Now you say, have you ever thought of me as being a little arrogant? Why? Envious? You say, oh, but, you know, that's something different. That's, you know, why? Why would we not laugh immediately about one when we laughed immediately about the other? Because we immediately can dismiss it because we've never seen it in the person's heart, the murderer part. But we don't laugh immediately when we talk about envy. Why? Because in our experience, that isn't one of the mud puddles that they keep going around. Now, you may not even live in an environment because of the way that you've protected yourself, the way that you've lived all of your life. You've never even lived in a community where you were worried about hitting a spiritual mud puddle of murder. Because you protected yourself. Now, does that mean that we're not living in a world that has murderers? Yes, we are. Things come into our eyes. Things come into our ears. And we still have, but we know how not to let that become a part of our heart. Because that's not who we are. So I have to ask the question, why are we not as vigilant about envy and arrogance? Are we in some way able to defend of what we personally think is terrible? But what we think is not that bad, we can allow to grow into our heart. This is what Jesus is actually talking about. Because we live in an environment that promotes all of these sins, and not all of the sins are you going to be susceptible to. I, looking at you in the church, I think that it's probably, well, it's really improbable in my mind to think that any of you are murderers. I mean, you just don't look like murderers. And if I say, well, do they look like envious people? You know what? I may not be able to see that very well, because perhaps that's something that I've allowed into my heart. Arrogance. Perhaps I laugh about it because that's something that I've allowed to grow. And if that's the case, how could we ever learn to be vigilant about defending against these spiritual mud puddles? We say, no, you know, there's a difference in mud puddles. Some are very dirty, and some are just mostly water. I'm going to tell you a secret. They'll both get your car dirty. And if we live in a world where we somehow have painted some sins as more watered down, we still are allowing our lives, our spiritual lives, to get dirty. That's why in Proverbs 4, you'll say, above all things, guard your heart. But can we guard against something that we ourselves don't consider all that bad? Can we guard against something? Yes, the answer is, Jesus did. Because we have to be taught what is right and wrong. We have to flee from all of those passions. And we need to make sure that we pursue the righteousness. And as we're pursuing the righteousness, you know, there are people who, they'll read a text, like the text that we started off with today. And we'll get to this list. And I'll go back for you with this list, because this is what happens in some, probably in other churches it happens, but in some people's lives it happens like this. It says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that comes, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. See, man, I am doing so well. And before we get to the list completion, we've already patted ourselves on the back. So that when Jesus gets to the place and says, envy, slander, and arrogance, we say, I wasn't patting myself on the back. Because we're so happy with ourselves for getting past the first couple of elements. That we dismiss the others like, oh, they're in last place. They must not be that important. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying in verse 23, all these evils. Do you hear what I'm hearing? Jesus is labeling slander and envy and arrogance. He's told us before, pride comes before the fall. All of these things as evil, and they come from inside and defile a person. When a person is defiled because their heart has allowed sin to take root, it ends up contaminating the whole person. It says, from within, and defile a person. And so if we go and we say, here I am, Jesus. You've redeemed me. And Jesus says, possession is 9/10 of the law. What is it that's growing in your heart? With that, you just say, I need this pulled out. Show me how wicked envy is. Show me how wicked arrogance is. Don't allow me to walk in this anymore. And we come along and we say to our family and to our friends, who were the ones who laughed immediately, asked the question, when we were asking the question, if you're a murderer, we say, can you keep a watch on this? Because somehow I can't see this element in my heart. Can you help me with this? That's why Jesus says we're going to be known by the fruit that we bear. Sometimes we can't tell the fruit that we have. But our next door neighbor can. Sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking that our fruit is much better than it is. But our spouse knows what's really going on. Sometimes we may think, the food that I'm eating isn't hurting me. But it really is. Just because we can't see it, my friends, doesn't mean that it's not there. And so we need to be hyper-vigilant about fleeing sin. Hyper-vigilant about guarding our heart and pursuing Jesus with all that we are. Because these things that you or I may consider as minor are not minor. And it's not nearly as easy as turning around and going back home and changing your clothes because you spilled your coffee. When you have sin taking root in your heart, it requires an act of God. It requires the act of Jesus dying on a cross. The cost is incredible. The cost is great. So as a church, we already know how to protect ourselves from sin. We know how to protect ourselves from murder. We know how to protect ourselves from the things that we consider. So all I'm telling you is let's consider what Jesus says, as sin is really terrible as well. Because when we do that, we'll be able to move forward. And Jesus is going to be happy with us. In conclusion, we must not allow evil or the evil in the world to take root in our heart, because once it does, I will promise you something, it'll grow. The outside doesn't matter as much as we think it does. I'm going to tell you a story of a person that was able to win the lost while he wasn't very presentable. He was stripped completely naked and was hung on a cross, put in a condition on outward man of absolute shame. Matter of fact, Scripture in the Old Testament even mentioned that cursed is everyone that is hung on a cross or hung on the wood, hung up. And Jesus, while he was hung, stripped naked, bleeding, and a curse, looked over to one of those others crucified with him. You know what he said? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Rather than being so preoccupied with the outside, I'm not saying let's show up next week without bathing, but rather than being so preoccupied with the outside, let's make sure that we are vigilant about what the inside has. And let's pull out the roots of envy, of slander. Pull out the roots of arrogance and pride and folly. Let's make sure that we serve Jesus with all of our hearts. And let's start now pulling out the roots of these sins, these evils, so that we can glorify God with all we are. And that when we get to heaven, God will be able to say, I can tell because I have full possession of this heart. This is one of mine. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, thank you for speaking to us and giving us the heads up of what is important. Lord, we want to avoid the spiritual mud puddles at every cost. And we do not want to allow our own culture to define what is acceptable and what is not. We only allow you to give us that definition. And just as we can be very vigilant about one sin, we want to be vigilant about all of them. And we don't want any of those sins to grow in our lives. We don't want them to take root. And we want to live for you. We're going to flee the evil desires. And we're going to pursue you. And Lord, we enlist the help of family and friends. The people who could see our fruit, who forgot that they were supposed to laugh when asked about arrogance and envy. And it wasn't because they forgot. It's because they see it in our lives. Lord, thank you for putting them around us. And rather than us getting defensive and aggressive, allow us to respond in humility. And just as Philippians 2 indicates about you, Lord Jesus, you in humility learned obedience. And you became obedient even to death on a cross. And so now, not because you were looking for a haughty position, but now because you never allowed those sins to enter into your life, you've been given the name that is above every name. And we choose to bow before you, Jesus. Take full possession of our hearts, and we'll give you the glory. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.